Okay, so we're going to start tonight. Winter's one. St. Talamotta, we've approached. Ready in the winter, could believe it. And Corona is still around with us, and we're still not together. So we can't be together, even though I would love to be with all my Yedidim, but at least we can communicate for our Shirim. And so we're going to tie up a few loose ends. And even if you haven't been with us for Shirim up to now, you still can get straight involved in it. A few loose ends from what we've seen, which will automatically us bring into our new topic of discussions for the next few weeks. Shilas and Choshen Mishpat has risen because of the Corona crisis. Okay, so some people were with us over Sukkos, some people were only with us beforehand, and let's discuss and finish off issues which we brought up over this period of time. So let's go to our first Shaila. Our first Shaila is like this. We have Reuven and Shimon live in a building together, and comes along Sukkos, which we just experienced. And Reuven has been tested positive with Corona. He's been tested positive. And the rules of Corona means he has to be in bidud, isolation. He's not allowed to leave the house. And it's a severe avera to leave such a house and put people in danger as well, as we discussed once before. So now the question is that Reuven lives in a type of apartment where there's no place to build a sukkah. So where does he normally build his sukkah? He normally builds his sukkah in the parking lot of his building with the permission of the neighbors. That's where he builds his sukkah. And that's where he's been up to now. So he plans to continue doing that this year, even though he's in Corona and he's not allowed out of his apartment. He plans to break the rules because he can't miss his sukkahs. Now, what he does is that, as every year, he builds his sukkah together with Shimon. They share a sukkah. There's not much room in the building. Shimon has a similar problem. If you visit certain neighborhoods in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, you'll see that there is not much room to build a sukkah. The parking lots get taken over by sukkahs often. And therefore, Shimon and Shimon always build their sukkah together, and they share the sukkah. So that's what Reuven plans to do this year with Shimon. And with Shimon's permission, even though Reuven is Corona, Shimon's just going to clean the place out. But at the end of the day, Reuven is in that position of doing something which is illegal and being out of his apartment during that sukkah. So what's the shaila? Let's look at Ma'amok number one. We've covered a bit of this over sukkahs. We're going to finish this off even those who've heard a bit of this shaila, we'll see something new that crops is up over this period of time. So let's go to Maramok number one. So what's the shaila? Okay, so look, he broke the rules, broke the law, done something dangerous, but what's it got to do with sukkah? So the shaila is like this. There is a famous Ramah brings down the halach in Hilchus sukkah like this. Im osa betchila b'mokon shmistah b'achila o b'ashtiyah u'bishena. If you build a sukkah, Marosh, knowing you're putting the sukkah in a place where you're going to have sar, you're going to experience discomfort with whether through eating, drinking, or sleeping, or all three, you're going to be discomforted in that place. You know, you put a sukkah in a not comfortable place to do those activities. Eina yotza ba'osa sukkah, that sukkah, you're not going to be yotza the mitzvah with at all. Now, there's opinions that say if you're not yotze the mitzvah, maybe it's considered like you're eating out of the sukkah as well, which is even worse. Not only that, you're not yotze the sukkah, even in activities which you do in it, which are not creating discomfort. So you have problems with flies when you eat. So it's discomfort, you're not yotze. But surely when you sleep, you're not bothered by the flies. You're not yotze even when you have sleeping over there. Because the sukkah, because the sukkah is not defined as your living quarters. What's living quarters? That you can do everything there. You've now built a sukkah, you can't do everything there. So Mamela, it's not a sukkah, it's a posel sukkah, so to speak. The Gaon says it's as bad as making a sukkah which hasn't got the right dimensions. What's the sukkah that doesn't have the right dimensions? A sukkah which has not got dimensions, not sukkah at all. You're eating outside the sukkah. So the implication of this halacha is, if you build a sukkah in a place where there's discomfort of any of the living activities, the whole sukkah is not a sukkah at all. You're eating outside the sukkah. It's a possible sukkah. It's not even defined the sukkah. Now, in our case, what is the discomfort of this Reuven building the sukkah in the parking lot? What's the discomfort that could be out of there? You build the sukkah in the parking lot. Somebody who's got corona, what's the discomfort that could be possibly in such a scenario? Any suggestion?
The partner who's in the sukkah with him is going to feel very uncomfortable. And so...
Okay, the partner doesn't eat at the same time. Yeah, maybe he does sleep at the same time, but doesn't eat at the same time. Okay, maybe he's a bit discomforted. But I've one in Reuven, the corona guy, what discomfort does he have by building a sukkah in the public parking lot, in the parking lot of his building?
He might be worried about exposing someone else.
Well, a bit more. He's not maybe the type of person who cares about other people, because maybe that's why he's in the parking lot in the first place. So,
He doesn't want to get caught by the police.
Ah, very good. He's worried all the time. He's nervous. There may be outside the police force, and then he's going to be in trouble. And how do I know that's called discomfort? I haven't got quoted over it, but if you look up that Mishnah, that Shulchan Aruch, it says one of the examples of discomfort is you build a sukkah in a place where there's ganovim around. So you're always worried that maybe ganovim can come. So therefore, here, for him, I'm not saying the Mishnah, the police force are ganovim, but for him, he sees that his money is in danger when maybe he's also in danger of getting a set of records on him, that he's in Kotsi. Whenever he's looking around the corner, is the police coming? Get someone out on the door, see if anybody's over there that's coming, warn me. He's constantly in discomfort in using that sukkah because he's worried about the police.
That would be true in communist Russia. That would have been true in Nazi Germany.
Correct. We're going to discuss certain variances of this type of a locker. Soon you'll see we'll cover certain examples which you brought up. But so let's build up what the shaila is. Reuven built a sukkah lachachila where it's discomfort, says the halacha of the Rumah, it's a posel sukkah, and therefore the shaila is even Shimon Yotze. Because if you know that if you build a sukkah which doesn't have the right dimensions, doesn't matter who's there, even the builder's not there, the other people are there, obviously you're not Yotzer. So even though Reuven built it, that's Reuven's discomfort, but now the whole sukkah is called posel sukkah, not sukkah, because of the discomfort of the owner called Reuven. So therefore, if it's called posel sukkah, then even when Shimon's in there, he's not in a sukkah, and the whole sukkah is nonsense. If it's nonsense, then anyone there is not Yotzer Mitzah. They're all eating outside the sukkah. They're all making brokers of Alatollah, and they haven't been Yotzer Mitzah at all on sukkahs over such a scenario. Is that true or not true?
Doesn't go on the Gavra. It goes on the Heft. You mean the Issa goes not on the Gavra, but on the Heftza?
The pastors of the Vilna Gaon. What do the Vilna Gaon say? That having a sukkah in a area of discomfort is like a sukkah which hasn't got dimensions in it. Correct dimensions. That's a definition of the structure. The structure is not a sukkah.
That doesn't
answer the question. No one's Yotzer in such a situation.
Doesn't answer the question, because the Grom may have been speaking about only the person who is affecting all of this negative stuff.
You can't define the structure being good for one or not for the other. If it's a structure, a flaw in the structure, then it's no good for anybody. Nobody for anybody. If you want to go into further marmakomis on this, which we're not going to go tonight, I'm the shir which we had over Chol HaMoed, and there's a recording over there on that shir, and you'll see over there, there's other marmakomis that we go after the owner always. If the owner has built the sukkah, and if for him, the owner, it's discomfort, and therefore the name of the sukkah is not a sukkah, then the owner defines what it is, not a sukkah. All people that come in are now going into a place which is not defined as a sukkah at all.
I thought Shimon was a part owner.
So the question here, which we haven't yet tackled in any of our shirim, is that, yes, that may be absolutely true definition if Reuven was the sole owner. But over here, he's a partner called Shimon over there. What's the effect in a situation where you have for one owner, it's not called a sukkah, but according to the other owner, there's another owner there, and for him, it's okay. He's not discomforted. What's the situation in such a case? Does that prevent the sukkah being possible, or do we say it carries through going on to the sukkah to be possible? What's going to be the situation in such a case? That's what we're going to discuss a bit tonight, which is also a choshen mishpat, Shaila, how to define the relationship between these two partners in this case of the sukkah. That's a new type of shayla we're going to see tonight. Yeah. Okay. So that's the issue in front of us. Now, so let's go to a maisa shayla kachaya, choshen mishpat shayla, sukkah shayla, partnership shayla, all three together. And it's like this. Reuven v'Shimon, if you go to the Mar Mekomos, let's see the pictures. I pull up pictures for this scenario in order to demonstrate what type of situation we are. If you go back to the page. Okay, so Reuven and Shimon, they live in this type of buildings structure over here. His picture is actually from Meshorim over here. And you can see there's not much room and space to pull up your sukkah over there. And how they build their sukkahs, well, you see, they're very ingenious how they get their sukkahs in and use up all the space. Every talad amnas is a mitzvah over there, as you can define it over there. So they haven't got much space. And they have very, if you look on the right-hand side, they have very small mapesis, if at all. And their sukkah is not very big, and they can't fulfill the needs of all the mishpacha, and they have big mishpachas, Kanai Nahara, in their Sharim. So they would like to build the sukkah on the left-hand side in the actual public place where you can get much bigger space and accommodate the family. But there's not enough room. There's not enough room in that area to accommodate all the families that needs it.
So the only ones that need it are the men. Not the women.
Yeah, but the men, there's enough men that can't sleep in the sukkah up there on the right-hand side. There's not enough space even for that. Yeah. And so therefore, what do they do? So Reuven and Shimon, they decided they're going to take turns. In Toshin Ayin Ches, Reuven has rights to be in the Chaniya for his sukkah. And Shimon has to use the Mepeset and live with that. In Toshin Ayin Ches. In Toshin Ayin Tes, it switches. Shimon now has the rights to the Chaniya, and Reuven has to be uncomfortable. And go backwards and forwards. So what's the Shaila? What came up? Came up that Toshin Ayin Ches, Reuven used the sukkah in the Chaniya. And now in Toshin Ayin Tes, who should be now using the Chaniya for his sukkah? Who should be using it? Shimon. Yeah. Of course, Shimon. Yeah. But Shimon went to Chutz Haaretz for Toshin Ayin Tes. So Reuven looked around just before Sukkot and says, where's Shimon? Ah, he's gone to Chutz Haaretz. Oh, good. I can use it in Toshin Ayin Ches. Okay. So he used it not only in Toshin Ayin Ches. He used it in Toshin Ayin Ches because Shimon wasn't around. Comes along Toshin Pei. And now Shimon's back. And Shimon's about to build his sukkah. And Reuven comes out. Hold on. Toshin Pei is my year, not your year. I'm Toshin Ayin Ches and Toshin Pei. You're Toshin Ayin Tes and Toshin Pei Aleph. Toshin Pei, which is the year we're discussing, is my year, says Reuven. So you can't build the sukkah. I have the right to build the sukkah. Says, oh, hold on, says Shimon. What are you talking about? Yes, Toshin Ayin Tes was supposed to be my year and Toshin Pei was supposed to be your year. But Lemaisa, I wasn't here. And in Toshin Ayin Tes, you used it. So I'm using now Toshin Pei.
Question.
So what do you do in such a scenario? Who has rights for Toshin Pei to build the sukkah in the Chaniya?
It depends.
Is Reuven rights or is Shimon correct?
Does it depend on the agreement, whether they specify dates?
They specified alternate years. Yes, they did specify dates. You go every other year. You start in whatever year. It came up to Tov Shin Ayin Ches. It was the year of Reuven. And it's supposed to be Tov Shin Ayin Tes Shimon and Tov Shin Pei Reuven again. And it happened to be Reuven used it for 2 years in a row. Now he wants to use that third year because he wants to use the agreement to say Tov Shin Pei is his year. And Shimon said, hey, look, but Lemaisa, you talk to Shonai and Tess. I should take this in. We should switch the years now. So who's correct in the definition over there?
Shimon.
I say Reuven's right. Reuven.
So Baruch wants to say Shimon's correct.
Because their agreement was alternating. And the mashmaus of that is switching off every year. So the exception gets worked into it that Shimon wasn't there. The next time he shows up, it's his turn.
So Baruch wants to say a chiddush that built into the agreement was alternative years. And therefore, if that overrides the actual year definition of who it is. And therefore, since Tov Shin Ayin Tes was Reuven, so then Shimon should now do Tov Shin Pei because of the alternative year part of the agreements. That's what Baruch wants to say. Implicit in agreement, it has to be alternative. Does everyone agree to that?
I disagree. I think it should be the other way. Because it's Shimon's chus to use it that year. So he could have done something with it. He could have given it to a friend. It wasn't Reuven actually took it without his asking. He really should have asked Shimon if he could do it. But it was really that year is Shimon's year, and he's the Balaam on that Hishtamshus.
Okay, David is very chushim ishpot, like we say. The Meister, I toshin ayin ches, I own toshin pei, I own toshin ayin ches was yours, and I stole your area or use your area if you want to be more positive in your definition. Just because a gunner stole from you, you can't steal from the gunner. Toshin's pay, and you have a time against me for using Toshin Line Test. Come with a din Torah about Toshin Line Test. But Toshin Pei is not part of the din Torah. Toshin Pei is mine, can't take away Toshin Pei. That's what David wants to say that disagrees with Bob.
I disagree. I thought they were shutfin, and I thought they were sharing it. That means that each has the right each year. It's only a function of, are they going first or second? That's what a shutif is. He gets to use that particular property whenever he wants. Every day, whatever.
Menachem, you're beautiful. Not only you look beautiful, you say beautiful things, Menachem. What Nachum is saying is, it's like, look at partners, and really every year, both of them own everything. And it's just a convenient thing to switch off. So therefore, you can't just ignore in Tov Shin Pei Shimon's claim, because he's a real owner there, as much as Reuven is. You have to sort this out, and maybe you go with Baruch's logic that you have to go with the fairness of things with partners. And therefore, you have to now, you've taken 2 years in a row, let me take now. Maybe even 2 years in a row to just make up the difference. That's what Baruch's suggesting. And backed up with the logic of Nachum over there. That's what we have to analyze. The relationship of Shutfim, who split up their ownership in a fashion for convenience sake of not using it at the same time, but using it at different times. What does that mean to their Shutfis? We've got two options out there. Two options are that even though they conveniently said we're going to use it at separate times, but we're still lemaisa halachically owners every time we both use it, and we're both owners every time we both use it. Just I'm letting you use it, you're letting me use it. Okay, that's what Menachem saw with Baruch saying. Therefore, we have to go with fairness and based on that, how to sort it out. Or do we say if they're partners, but you can always break up a partnership? And do we say when they agreed to the alternative, they've broken the partnership up, and therefore I own Tov Shin Ayin Ches, I own Tov Shin Pei, and you got nothing to do with it, and you own Tov Shin Ayin Ches, and you own Tov Shin Pei Aleph. Is that what we say when they split up the use of it? Are they actually splitting the partnership up? That's two options.
No,
can I go to third?
You're not splitting it up.
Okay, Rav Tully. Yeah.
So I was just thinking another point. I like what Rav Nachum is saying, but another point that may be a factor is that when Shimon went away, he didn't give Reuven a heads up. Hey, I'm not going to be here this year. Maybe you should use it this year, and then I'll, you know, continue the following year. And since he didn't, maybe if he would have disclosed, that's fine. But since he didn't disclose it, that was still his spot. So therefore, Reuven should be entitled the following year, regardless of how we look at it in terms of the Shaila that, you know, Nachum is raising.
A good technical point, but as a lawyer, Rav Nachum would tell us, judges, when they get technical points, they not just look at the technical point, they want to say, does that technical point, would it have made a difference? Would it have made a difference? And if you're telling me the technical point you're bringing up, which is true, would not have made a difference to what happened, so therefore we would have the right to ignore the actual technical point, which you said.
Can I say it a different way?
Yes.
Shimon was not hurt. What Reuven did didn't hurt Shimon. Secondly, I want to say that by Yeshutvis, you have to affirmatively agree to a split.
Okay.
You affirmatively agree.
Okay. You don't hold there's a split. Okay. So let us see Reb Kiva Eger. Let's go to Marmokka number two.
Isn't this a famous run in the Darim about splitting Chatzir?
Yes.
There is a famous run in the Darim, and we're going to see Rabbi Kivega how he actually uses this run in the Darim. Very good. We see, very good. Very good. Shmuel, right on the spot. Okay, so let's see Rabbi Kivega.
He's also pretty.
Yeah. Okay. But now, so we'll see this from Kivega. Kiva Eger, they have partners, and they just split the time of use, which is our Shiloh. Now, the two partners he's concerned with is that there's a Goy and a Jew. They're partners in a certain storage place. And the question is it Machayev in the Mezuzah or not? Now, we know a famous halacha that if there's a joint ownership of a Goy on the area, there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah over there. If it's a sole ownership of a Jew, then there is a Chiyuv Mezuzah. If the Goy, Yad Goy Benzer, there's no Chiyuv Mezuzah. So Rav Kiva Eger was asked, does this storage space, this metaf, this attic, which belongs to Goy and Jew, but they use it at different times, does it require Mezuzah? Does it not require Mezuzah? The Choretz Toli Anachigira. Do we look at when Reuven, the Jew's using it, as his, the only ownership? Or do we say, even though he's using it, but that's only for convenience, he still has a partner all the time called a Goy, and it's potter for Mezuzah. Ah, Shaila. So what does he say, Ruki Vega? In Ametav Ein Bo Din Chalukah. If it's a type of attic, which can't be physically split, this hasn't got the right dimensions or the ability to physically split it down, and therefore, Upaman Zer Meshamesh Bekula Upaman Zer. So they decided that, no, we're going to take turns when we use it. Reuven uses it sometimes, the Goy uses it sometimes. In came, within there, Hoya be'emeshe yisrav anochi b'shutfus, the Hoya markum the don b'chiyav mezuzah. You're telling me, well, if it's a partnership, if as soon as you got a partner with a Goy in the area, you should be potter for mezuzah, not chai mezuzah. Yeshama, but since you agreed to only use it at different times, the Goy by himself and Jew by himself at different times, Yeshama ta chayv be mezuzah. It is chayv be mezuzah. Why? The b'shasha yisrael mishtalesh kulu shelo legamri. Because when the Jew uses it, he is the sole owner. And when the Goy uses it, he is the sole owner. So therefore, since the Jew, when he uses it, is the sole owner, he is chayv be mezuzah. And therefore, you should put up the mezuzah. So we see from Rav Kiva Eger, even if you have partners, and partners are joint ownership. But if you decide that you're not going to use it together, I'm going to use it separately, Reuven's going to use it separately from the Goy, then we say that's called breaking up the partnership, and now Reuven totally owns the time when he's there. And he's got nothing to do with it when the Goy is there, and the Goy owns it totally when he's there, and he's got nothing to do with Reuven. If you put it back into our scenario, Reuven will say to Shimon, he's saying, look, I own Tovshin Einches, and I own Tovshin Pei, because we agreed that we're splitting our partnership, and it's nothing to do with you these 2 years. Tovshin Einches is your years. So come with a claim that I use Tovshin Einches. Fine, that could be your din Torah, that I use something is yours. But you can't force me to give up, which is totally mine, called Tovshin Pei. So therefore, I should definitely use Toshin Pei based on this Ruki Eider. I should definitely use this Toshin Pei, and you can't use it. Ended up, I'll be using it 3 years. You've got claims of Toshin Aintes. That's a different interior. Nothing to do with forcing me to give you Toshin Pei. That's what we should come out from the Rukiba Eger. Now, the question is that exactly accurate to compare what Rukiba Eger said to our case with the Sukkah? Or it really depends. Maybe we can, maybe not, not always. What are you going to suggest? Is it a blanket rule that when partners split up time of use, they may see breaking the partnership? That's what Ricky Vega is saying. You're breaking the partnership. Is that a blanket rule? Or it really depends on different factors that one will say things, sometimes yes, sometimes no. What do you think?
One of the things that you cannot split a chatzer with a shutav is as less than 8 amos together. Or put another way, each one must have at least 4 amos for.
Correct.
Now, we don't know the size of this particular chatzer over here, that, or the sukkah or whatever. And the sukkah that can be less than 8 amos. So one of the possibilities here is that it cannot be split up. Because
okay, I understand what Nachum is saying. Let me just get that out of your head so you don't stick with it. Is that we're talking about scenario, as you saw from the picture, is that the space is precious and there's no way to get a Reuven and Shimon together at the same time and say, this is mine and this is mine. We can only be there with that separate times. So therefore, it's like a chotzer she'ein bo din chalukah, which is what Rukiba Eger is talking about. So let's go with a different kibbutz because that is not an option by us. It's true what you're saying, but it's not an option by us.
Maybe you could say a different chiluk, that by mezuzah, the guy and the Yisrael can't coexist together. Because if it's a guy, then it's mafkia the chi of mezuzah. But by sukkah, they could really be together if they wanted to. There's no steerer to each of them sharing it even every day.
In theory, they could, but they don't want to be. They don't want to be. So they don't want to be. So they broke up the partnership. That's what Ruki Baker is suggesting. You're saying it's not automatic, but I don't think if it's Mitzvahs that you break time, is breaking partnership, then that's what we got over here. That's what we got here. Last suggestion, anybody? And then I'll move on. Right? All quiet. So let's move on. Let us see, I'm going to say two types of agreements. And you tell me when this wording means, like Rukiba Eger, we've broken the partnership, and when the wording means not necessarily broken the partnership. Wording like this. Reuven says to Shimon, look, we own the rights to the sukkah, the area, the partnership, let's split. I'll take Toshin Einches. You take Toshin Einches. I'll take Toshin Pei. Done deal. Shake on it. Kinyan Suda. Okay. That's one way of making the agreement. Another agreement way of speaking is, look, we can't be there at the same time. We can't be there at the same time. So let's be sensible. I'll do 1 year and you do another year. I'll do 1 year. You do another year. Let's be sensible. I'll do 1 year, do another year. And that's how they spoke.
Rav Akiva Eger is the
first. Is there any difference in the way you're speaking in these words that will make a different halachic outcome?
Yeah, the first one, they're agreeing that it's really separate. The agreement, the whole partnership is separate years. And the second is the partnership is forever. and together. It's just that we got to have practical separation here and there.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely correct. So therefore, if they can, it depends. Rookie Maker is we use Rookie Maker to say, you own this year, Toshin Akash and Toshin Pen. If you speak like the first way, you said, this is my year, this is your year, this is my year, let's make an agreement, handshakes, kin and solo, but we've now broken up the partnership that we ownership is split from each other and we have different years, right? That's when Rookie Maker. But if you speak the other way, so look, we can't both use it at the same time. Let's be practical. You take one year later. We haven't done any halachic split. We still own everything. There's nothing there to take away physically our ownership each other. We're just saying, okay, I own this, and so do you. And I let you use it this year on my parts, and you'll let me use it your part next year. But we haven't physically split, so therefore that will make a big difference in the Din Torah between Reuven and Shimon. Yeah. In fact, they spoke out like the second way. They didn't obviously do the Kenyan way. That's not the normal way to speak with Shechem. They're very versed in Chush and Mishpat. They want to do such a thing. They wouldn't normally do such a thing. And therefore, it was just a practical split, not a physical split. So therefore, since it's only a practical split, we have to go back to what Rav Nachman says and Baruch says, that every year belongs to both, and we just have to be fair in our distribution of use of that, and therefore we have to allow Toshin Pei to go to Shimon. We have to allow Toshin Pei to go to Shimon. But if they would have spoken out in the fashion of my year, your year, Kinyan, and Ochanami will have the situation where Toshin Pei will belong to Reuben, and Shimon would have to just, for a third year, miss out on using that Kanyan in such case. Maybe have claims about Toshin Antes, but that would be a different dinto. What's going to be the result of you using my year? Okay, that's a different shayla, which we're not going to discuss today. Okay, so now, with all that in that, let's go back to our shayla of Corona.
Hold on. I just missed something along the way. Why can't they both use it at different times? How did it become that? What is one person going to do if he can't use that sukkah and he can't find another place? Very inconvenient.
Okay, but that's the mitzvah. They can't use it at the same time, and they agree they can't use it at the same time. There's such family structures, they can't. They have to use it different times. They agree they have to use it times. And for convenient reasons, they said, okay, I have to suffer one year, and you suffer another year for convenient measures. But it's only convenient measures, not halakhic split. Not halakhic split. For convenient reasons, you're giving up your rights to which you have in this year. You're saying, use it. So then we have to go with fairness in such a scenario. We have to be at fair use over here. Yeah.
Like you said, two years or one year?
I can't hear you, Tully. You're a bit low.
You get 2 years or 1 year?
2 years or what?
2 years or 1 year for Shimon.
2 years or 1 year?
Exactly.
Oh. That's part of the Din Torah of Toshin Ayin Tes. Definitely Toshin Pei belongs to use of Shimon. Would he be able to also use Toshin Pei Aleph? Mm-hmm. That would be part of the Din Torah of what's the result of Toshin Ayin Tes in such a case. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Whether there was any naughtiness involved in Toshin Ayin Tes, then we'll allow Toshin Pei Aleph also to go to Shimon. If there's no naughtiness involved in determining what Reuben did, then we wouldn't allow Toshin Pei Aleph to also go to Shimon. Okay, that was part of what we're not going to discuss. So let's go back to Corona with this in ideas. We at first, Shiloh, were asking, Reuben built a sukkah which is halachically possible, not the right dimensions in the eyes of the Vilna Gaon. And he's the owner, and therefore the whole sukkah is possible for all his members of his family. Take that as a given because he's the owner. But the problem is he's not the only owner. There's another owner. Does that mean that the sukkah is also possible for the other owner called Shimon or not?
I'm saying no.
No. They can practically work it out different times.
So they split, as Baruch says, they split in use, Reuben and Shimon. Yes, they split in use. Did they split in a fashion where Reuben owns when he uses it? And the Corona guy owns it when he uses it totally, and Shimon owns it when he totally uses it? Or did they split it? No, we both own it together the whole time, And for convenient reasons, you can use it at 10 o'clock in the morning and I'll use it at 12 o'clock in the morning. Oh, I'll go to the late minion. Is that just a convenient split or a halachic split, what they did? What do you think?
My convenience.
What?
Convenience.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be convenience. If so, then when Reuven, the Corona guy, was using it, is really also belonging to Shimon. And even when Shimon uses it, it still belongs to Reuven, the Corona guy. Even when Shimon, it belongs to the Corona guy the whole time. If it belongs to the Corona guy the whole time, so you've got a Balim over there that's defined the Sukkah's possible. So therefore, it's going to affect Shimon as well. If the Sukkah is possible,
but it belongs to Shimon
the Balim, so it's going to make the whole thing possible.
But it belonged to Shimon the whole time also.
Yes. Now, what's the din? We should not go to that. Bring the Baal Melko. Mo Cotton talks about it over here, over there. It says, what's the din if one of the owners, where they haven't split, made it Osir Bahano or made it Hektish? What's the din? Has he affected the other owner or that? He can't. Can the other owner use it?
The answer is in Bava Metzia, I think, Daf Beis, or Gimel Amud Beis. Where they had where people washed themselves, and they had a dispute as to who owned them, and one of the partners said a formula that it went to Hekdish. It taka went to Hekdish, and nobody used it.
Right. The question is yes, it works. It's awesome. The other guy has claims, monetary claims. You've damaged me. But so here also, we're going to say the Corona guy has built a sukkah which is possible, and therefore is a shame sol on the sukkah, even for Reuven at the same time, where whenever Reuven owns it, Reuven owns it the whole time, so the whole sukkah is a sukkah possible. It's not fair for Shimon. Not fair. He's the owner. You can't do that to me. Says, yeah, I've done something extremely naughty, but. You can make claims of damages over here. Any case, Reuven can turn around to Shimon. You knew that. You agreed. So if you agreed, so agreed me to damage you. You agreed. So we both sat in Basel Sukkah for those Sukkahs. Again, we didn't know the Hilkos are a kind too well. Otherwise, we'd never done something like that. But you agreed, just as I was so gay in understanding that law for you as well. I'm not sure how much a claim of mazik you can have either. But it's chal, if we're looking at this stage, it's chal, the whole thing possible for both of them, for everybody, because there's an owner over there that says this sukkah is a possible sukkah.
Okay, but
yes,
the psul based on Gein Tadur of not being covered star is subjective. It's subjective. So you could have a family where for one person, I wouldn't sleep in the sukkah. And someone else said, I'm perfectly fine sleeping in that sukkah. So it becomes for one ends up not being yotze and one is yotze.
So you want to say subjective. The Chacham Svi argued, the Chacham Svi understand this halacha is not subjective. It's a definition of the structure which you've built and you called it not a sukkah. The sukkah is not a sukkah. It's not just a definition. That's how the Chacham Svi. But we're going to say something very similar, basically. Let's move on.
I just want to say, if this is based on the policeman catching him, so if he has a shutfu, so he's already got less of a chashash. He'll claim, well, I have a shutfu, so no, he can claim that.
He's scared whenever he's in there, when he's trying to use the sukkah, that the police come and it won't help that he's got a shutfu with him. What does it help? I've got a shutfu. Please. I'm not supposed to be here, but I've got a shutter by the Shimon. How's that a defense against the police force? It's not a defense. It's not going to help him. Make him form more rugu.
He's exposing more people. It's been worse.
Yeah. So, okay. Let us come and see a Kiddush, which we were said, but you said it very quickly. I'm not sure everyone understood it. And Pesach, and Sukkot, Chalamod, we said it in one, and Hashim and whoever was there. We're going to explain it in a bit more detail. A chiddush from one of the Choshev dying Rabbonim of Yerushalayim, Harav Reuven from Hanov. Okay, so he has a chiddush about this Ramah over here, which we just discussed in Hilkos Sukkah. Let us see. Go back to Marmokomas. Look at number 3. And he has the following chiddush. Okay, let's see what Reuven says. Comes to Reuven, comes to this Ramah and says, look, the sukkah's possible. If the sukkah's possible, then I've got a problem here. You're telling me a sukkah is only kosher if you can do all living activities over there. all living activities. That means if you go down a bit to the next page, see the picture on the next page. That means if you go and visit the coastal and you have that sukkah back at the coastal over there, can you sleep over there? Mm-hmm. Are you allowed to sleep over there?
If what?
Is it comfortable to sleep over there in that sukkah?
Definitely not.
It's half open. Is that what you're asking?
It's in the coastal. Coastal. Is it a comfortable place to live? Is it permitted to sleep in such a place?
No.
If it's like a shul, you should be sleeping in it.
Says not. So says Reuben. So it should come out that that sukkah is possible. Because you can't do your living activities. You built a sukkah that can't do all living activities. The whole sukkah is possible. So be possible. That can't be because Minach Yisrael to have a sukkah at the coastal and everyone uses it and eats over there. What, you're making brokkola batolas? You're eating outside the sukkah? So he says, so what does the Ramah mean? If it's not possible, so what does he mean? So he says a chiddush like this. He says, Ein ze psul b'shein sukkah. He doesn't mean the structure is not a sukkah. El apostle b'diras a sukkah. What he means is that the sukkah is not your living quarters. V'sir le'reim, and the reim, the Ramah, the reim, who's the makar of the Ramah, set holds, shah mitzah ein le'elcha b'sukkah. The mitzah on sukkah is not to eat in sukkah. And the mitzvah who the door of the sukkah. The mitzvah is to live in sukkah. How do you live? You live by you eat, you drink, and you sleep. That's how you eat. But that's a way of defining your living. That's the mitzvah. But called sukkah she'ena or gam l'she'ena v'gam l'chira ein zeteisha came to do. If you build a sukkah that can't do all activities, then it's not called your living in the sukkah. Why? Why? The Azadira who's Yochel Elchol below Bar the Ena Yochel Lishomba. What do you mean? How can you say sukkah is your living quarters when you're eating it, but you're not sleeping in it? Where are you sleeping? I'm sleeping in my house. I sleep in my house and I eat in the sukkah. Well, if you sleep in your house and you eat in the sukkah, we can't say you're living in the sukkah. We can say you're going to the restaurant in the sukkah. We can't say you're living in sukkah. You can only say you're living in sukkah if you do all activities in sukkah. Yeah, it's commotion of bottom, no hikul sukkah. It's like you never built a sukkah to live in. You just bought the sukkah to have an outside activities in it. But that's not good enough. You're not to your mitzvah unless you live in it. Fizeh. So the result of such a definition in base over there, Ma'atelo yotze b'achila, the reason why you're not yotze when you eat in it, if you can't sleep, the reason why you can't, you're not yotze when you eat in it, is Eitzem mach she'ena al sukkah shem, not because it's not a sukkah, and to give in she'achila, because you're not eating and sleeping in a sukkah, you're just eating in a sukkah, it's not called living. That's not called living. Oz afachila lokal boy. So therefore, when you're eating, we don't look at it as eating and doing the mitzvah. We're like you're eating in a restaurant. Using the sukkah as a restaurant is not doing a mitzvah. Using the sukkah as living is doing the mitzvah. When do we define living in the sukkah? If we ask you, Reuben, did you eat, sleep, and drink in the sukkah for 7 days? Then you say yes. Okay, so your guy on sukkahs lives in the sukkah. But if you say, I only eat in the sukkah, but I sleep in the house. So we say to you, you don't live in sukkah. So even when you eat there, you're not living there. You're not doing the mitzvah. You can only do the mitzvah if you're living in the sukkah. You only find a living in the sukkah if you do all your activities in sukkah. Mela, how do we affect us? Look at that picture over there. What's that picture? That picture is not my schach, Baruch Hashem, but it can be my schach. If you take schach at the end out, after Yom Kippur, and you splash it down on the floor. Sometimes you've seen lots of things come out, and you don't want to see it come out, and that's infestation of bugs. So if you keep doing it, you think, okay, I'll do it 5 times, and it'll be end. But if you keep doing it 20 times, and you still get that coming out, you know you're in trouble. It's totally infested. And if you pull up that sukkah, what's going to happen to your food when you're eating in the sukkah? What's going to happen to your food? The food will be unedible. Halachically, you can't eat it. Can't eat it. You're constantly bugs, kashash, especially at nighttime when you're not even looking. Yeah, you're eating soup with bugs. That's what you're doing. So therefore, you can't use this schach for your sukkah because you're going to be able, not be able to eat in it. So you come up with an idea. I've got two sukkahs. I'm going to put that schach, which I can't use for eating, in my sleeping sukkah. I've got a sukkah for sleeping. I've got a sukkah for eating. And when I'm sleeping, I don't mind if bugs fall down and everything. It doesn't bother me that bugs falling down. And I'm not doing any yisurim when I'm sleeping, it falls down on me. That's the seder. That's no problem. What I mustn't do is have it in my eating sukkah. Ah, so therefore, I put it up in my sleeping sukkah, and I want to use it just for sleeping and not eating in that area, and then I'm fine. The question is, everyone asks, but that sukkah which you're sleeping can't do all the activities. It can only sleep. You can't eat there. It should be possible sukkah. Based on what Rev Rubin just said, is it going to be possible or is it going to be kosher? The sukkah which you put up, that schach for sleeping, is it going to be possible or is it going to be kosher? Based on the definition of what Rav Rubin just said, what the Ramah meant, that he says the sukkah has to do all the activities. Is that sukkah going to be possible or is it going to be kosher?
Kosher.
Possible.
Possible. Possible or not? Possible?
Possible.
Anyone has any other opinion out there?
Where's the other sukkah? Is it right next to it?
Yes, he's got one mepeset, comes off his bedroom, which he sleeps in. One mepeset, which comes off his dining room, which he eats. And he's got the sukkah, which he sleeps in. This schach over here, which he's not allowed to eat in. Is that sukkah a kosher sukkah or not?
You know, one of the problems, technical problems, is that if you're sleeping and bugs are falling on you, and then the next morning you're going to go after davening, you're going to go eat your suda in the other room, in the other sukkah, you're going to have bugs there too. So you haven't really solved, maybe the first day you've solved your problem.
I think you're being a bit too stringent on the bug issue.
Wait, can it?
I think it'd be kosher. It'd be kosher.
Isn't this a Reuben's Sfarah?
Yeah, according to a Reuben's Sfarah, would it be kosher or not?
Yes, kosher.
Let me explain it out. David says it's kosher. The reason why he says Reuben, there's no halacha which says the sukkah needs to do everything. The halacha is that the person needs to do everything in sukkah. Reuben needs to do everything in sukkah. But there's no halacha that the sukkah needs to do everything to be kosher. And if Reuben says, I'm going to do eating in one sukkah, drinking in another sukkah and sleeping in another sukkah, he's done everything in sukkah. There's no halacha that the sukkah needs to do everything, says Reuben. So therefore, it's going to be kosher. He has one sukkah for only eating, one sukkah for sleeping. Fine, you don't need to do the sukkah that has to do both. You just need the person has to do all his living activities in a sukkah. Doesn't have to be the same sukkah. Memela, when you go to the coastal as well, okay, you can't sleep there. You can only eat in the sukkah. But I sleep in my sukkah in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I do everything in sukkah and sukkahs. So therefore, I as a person do live in sukkah. I live in this sukkah, that sukkah, makes no difference. I live in sukkah. Live in sukkah, the sukkah is good. There's no dinner, the sukkah needs to do anything.
Isn't that against the grah? Isn't that against the grah?
So does that go against the grah? Pastures, you would say it doesn't fit so well with the grah, but he's got a 20-page tshuva, Rav Reuben, and he tackles why the grah is not such a kasha against him. So I'm shown, if you want to look up his tshuva, why the grah can still fit in. But that's his chiddush. The sukkah kosher is going to be kosher. Your sukkah, which can't be eaten because it's bug infested, you only use it for sleeping, is going to be kosher. And now let's come back to Corona. He said, hey, Reuven, your Corona, you built a possible sukkah because you're going to be scared. The whole sukkah is a scared sukkah, a discomfort sukkah, which means can't do the activities properly. So it's possible. So what's going to be the answer? So he's going to make everything possible. Going to make for his whole family possible. Going to make Shimon possible as well. He's affecting everybody. What's going to be the answer? Is he affecting everybody? Has he made the sukkah possible for Shimon? Has he made it possible for everybody? What's going to be the answer? based on what Rav Reuben, how he's described this halacha, has he made the sukkah possible for Shimon and all his family by making it a discomfort area for just Reuben? Has he made the sukkah possible?
No. It's on a gavra.
It's only a gavra thing. Reuben's not yotzer the mitzvah, but everybody else is yotzer, because everybody, as far as the sukkah, there's nothing wrong with the sukkah. Even with Reuben, there's nothing wrong with the sukkah. Reuben's got a problem. He's not living there. It's not called living when you're totally discomfort in a place that's discomfort. It's not called living. He's not yotzer the mitzvah. He says brochel avotola, but everybody else, for them, they're yotzer, because the sukkah is all as structurally a good sukkah, according to Reuben. So we solved that.
Does that mean that Reuben would take a calmative, a pill, a calmative?
We're going to see. So we've narrowed down the problem of being only a problem for Reuven. So the question is, has Reuven made brocha levatolos? Has he been yotze his mitzvah chlav? Everyone else is okay, but maybe he hasn't. L'chori, he hasn't. So let's go to a famous shayla. A famous shayla was asked to Shlomo Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. When Zalman Nechemya Goldberg was at Zav, one of our Chosha Dai, which we just unfortunately lost recently, and he was asked the following shayla. Gilo, at some time before the tunnels were built and the wall was built, was under attack on a nightly basis from bullets being shot into the Gilo neighborhood. And his answer asked the shayla was, look, we build our sukkahs, we can be there in the day, but at nighttime, we can't see there, it's totally dangerous. The bullet could go straight through the walls and kill somebody, chas v'shalom. We can't sleep at night. Yeah, everyone sleeps the sukkah in Eretz Yisrael. No problem with the weather. But in Gilo, we can't. It's too dangerous. Are we yotzer mitzvah? Because we built a sukkah that can't do all activities. I can't do activities. And even when we're eating in it, we're scared. Even when we're eating, we're scared. Because maybe a bullet in a day will come. So we're scared the whole time. We can't even do comfortably the eating as well. So maybe there's b'chal no point talking a sukkah, but it's not called a sukkah for us. Not called a sukkah. Okay, so the structure is good, but we're not being living in it because we're living constantly under fear. So therefore, is that mean that we've got no sukkah this year? That was the ask to Zalman Nechemya Goldberg. So he comes up with the following.
What was the question? Whether the sukkah is possible or whether...
Whether we can be yotzeh l'mitzvah. Can we be yotzeh l'mitzvah?
It's aseh. The mitzvah. Yeah. Talking about the mitzvah.
Yeah. Can we be yotzeh l'mitzvah of eating the sukkah? Or it's impossible this year. Might as well just be in the house because we can't do the sukkah. Yeah.
That's an anus. They're an anus, right?
If we go out into the sukkah and we eat there, and we're just nervous. Are we being yotzer the mitzvah? Are we can say the brocha? Or are we saying brocha of Thomas and don't go out there and just avoid the whole thing? Yeah, that's the shayla off. So what did Rav Nechemya Goldberg say? Look at this. The Chora, they got a point. They're not yotzer because it's a very discomfortable sukkah. They can't do it anywhere else. Just don't say your brochas there. If you do go there, don't say any brochas. And why go there? You're not doing anything. So look at number four. Yeah. Well, two more marmakamas, and then we'll finish because time is only out. So it says for Zalman Nechemya Goldberg, the following chilik, a chiddush. It said, Ma'ata yesh lono, she'ena yochel l'shom machmes kor, ein ze mevatos etzem kashrus ha'sukah. She'kiven sh'ar kor nigrim machmes ha'sukah. The reason why in chutz la'aretz, people eat in sukkah and not sleep and still kosher, either not doing their living activities over there, is because when they're not sleeping in the sukkah in Chutz La'aretz, it's because it's too cold. Too cold. Okay. Too cold. Fine. That doesn't take away the kashrus of the mitzvah. Why? Kiven shakor nigra machmas the sukkah. The reason why it's cold is because that's what happened. You go in the sukkah, you're cold. In your house, you're warm. By definition, the sukkah is a cold place. So that therefore the discomfort is because of the sukkah. The sukkah is a place for discomfort for colds. If sukkah is a place for discomfort, sukkah is by definition a place for discomfort for colds. That means you can't say you're not yotzei mitzvah. That's the definition of the sukkah. The Rai he brings is that Hashem says, really, I should make sukkahs at what time of year? When should sukkah be?
Spring.
When should it be? After Pesach. Yeah, just after Pesach should be sukkah. Why did he move it? Why did Hashem move the mitzvah to Tishri? Why did he move it to Tishri? Anyone know?
To make it clear that when we're going out in the sukkah, that we're doing it for the mitzvah.
No. Why is it clear in Tishri?
Because that's not the time.
Everybody else is coming in, we're going out.
Why is nobody else there in Tishri? I know
it's getting cold.
Because it's not comfortable.
Becoming cold. It's becoming cold.
The definition, if the sukkah is creating the discomfort, that's the mitzvah. To do the mitzvah of sukkah in the sukkah, which is not comfortable because of the sukkah. So now, therefore,
it's man simchatenu, and that is and that's certainly not for discomfort. In my understanding,
sukkah is a different thing. Sukkah is anana covered. They say that we have connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We're not interested in the gashmis. We want to be protected by Hashem and nothing else. And that's our real simcha. Simcha shal mitzvah. Simcha the vikas of Kodesh Baruch Hu, not physical simcha of pleasures and like that. So therefore, if the sukkah is creating discomfort, that's good for the mitzvah. So therefore, in chutzaretz, you can't sleep. That's part of the mitzvah. That is cold. Okay, so you can't sleep. So therefore, when you eat, it's still a good mitzvah. Because the reason why the sukkah is kosher is not that you built it in a place you can't do everything. You built it in a place that you can do the maximum which sukkah allows you to do. If sukkah doesn't allow you to do this, then it's still going to be kosher when you do everything else. Memela. Comes so the Zav Nechemia, why can't you sleep in the sukkah in Gilo? Is it because of the sukkah or because of an outside problem?
Outside problem.
Is it outside problem that's stopping you sleeping in the sukkah? It's because of the sukkah that's sleeping in the sukkah. No? You say it's outside. Very quick to answer. Use your brain.
It's not outside the sukkah? Or is it because the sukkah doesn't have strong walls?
Ah! That's now thinking, Rebbe Nachum. The reason why you can't use the sukkah in Gilo is because the sukkah, by definition, can't protect you from the bullets. Because the walls of sukkah, Hilchos sukkah, doesn't allow the protection from the bullets. So therefore, the discomfort is machmas the sukkah. So therefore, he says, you can in Gilo go into the sukkah, make your brachos, because the reason why you can't use it is because of the sukkah itself. It has to be an outside problem, the reason why you use it, in order to be possible. Memeila would come to our, that's why it's caution given. Memeila would come to our last shiny. Go to the back to the last
Aramoka. You can make bars, you can make mechitzas of bars, though. You could make a very protected, so you can't protect.
I say it's a machlokas in the Gemara when you can do that. Okay, we Baskin, you can do such a thing.
You can do such a thing.
Surah Sasuka is that it should be arai in a fashion that doesn't necessarily have to protect it, and that's the ideal structure. I think they even say lachachilah should be an arai fashion. So if lachachilah should be, that means lachachilah, the sukkah should not protect you. Okay, so such a thing. So now, let's go to our last shayla, our last marmokan. Who is this great person in front of us? We go to the picture over here. There's two great people. One's the father, the Abba, and one's the son. On the left-hand side is the son. His name is Reb Chaim Yaakov Rotenberg Zatzal. He was the Abba based in Paris of the Kehila Charedit. On the right-hand side is his father, I think his word, Mordechai Rotenberg. Hashem Yochum Dovov, he was killed in the Holocaust. They were both taken to Auschwitz. And Chaim Yaakov Rotenberg, it was Erev Sukkos, and he found a small place around the barracks. He quickly built a halachic sukkah just before Shkia came in of Sukkos, and he ate a kezias in making the bracha when it was night, of Yom Tov, and then he took down the sukkah. Because, you know, building a sukkah in Auschwitz is a ticket to death from the Nazis in maximum. So, the question, godless in devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his mitzvahs, okay? Many sides come about such activity. Is he allowed to do such a thing? Can he knock down the sukkah on Yom Tov? Can he lachila build something which is going to take down on Yom Tov? Okay, but we're not going to discuss that shayla. But the poshut shayla, which is nugeh to us, was he bechlal yotze his mitzvah? Was he bechlal motze his mitzvah? Because when he's eating that kezias, what's going to be his thinking at that time when he's eating that kezias?
A man on that level is thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting him. But he already has in mind.
Ask Boss of Adam, what would we be thinking?
Fear.
So you're building a sukkah. And he's not going to sleep there.
Building a sukkah lachachila in a place which he knows he's going to be discomfortable. And therefore, maybe it's a kosher sukkah, but maybe he's not yet to the mitzvah. So he says, what's the answer? So he says, Rabbi Yitzchak Silverstein, I have an answer, and Rabbi Yashim had an answer, Zatzal, to this, what happened. So he says like this, Shemati, Shasadik, Rav Chaim Yaakov, Rotterdam, Zatzal, Lo Yochel Yoda Pachat Mahu. He's a type of person who is not frightened of anybody and anything, any human being, any animal, nothing in the world is frightened. No human being can ever make him frightened. That's a haftocha from to Otomarishan, that you don't have to be frightened of anything. Yeah, and he's like an Otomarishan. A master sauce a sukkah beyond us. Why did he take down the sukkah? If he's not frightened, why did he take down the sukkah?
Because everybody in those barracks would have been killed.
Okay. Thing like that. Yeah. Why? He would have given up. He said, I did it. Yeah. Who beglau shahalochahi lo lesaken eschaim lo lesolich. There's a halacha. You can't do things which are relying on this. Yeah. You can't rely on this. You can't do things which masakin, put yourself into danger and just rely on the name. So it's a halacha. It's a halacha which told him to take it down.
It doesn't apply to him because he was beyond that. He had total emuna.
But there's a halacha that, as we learned at the end of Dinner Marcus and Dinner last time, says you can't do public activities of relying on the nes. Like Yaakov Avinu was obviously a great person, but he still had to do activities which are within his shtadlus and not do activities which are obviously a mitzvah, sakona activities. So halacha forces him to take it down. And he said, Rabbi Yashiv, Yaakov felt that it was such a small point of time, 10 minutes from 20 minutes of Shkia, that you don't have to be worried about the Nazis. He said it's such a small amount of time, it's nothing to be frightened of. Okay, so a slight deviation over there of what's the reason why it's kosher. Either he wasn't naturally scared of anything, and then you have a question, why take it down? You have to come up with a halachic reason. Or small time, he's not scared, bechlau. Longer time, that's something to worry about. So therefore, the answer is, was he Yotze Mitzvah? He was Yotze Mitzvah because he built a sukkah in an area where he's not scared. Because he's not scared, Bechla. Since you're saying to hold it in the Gavra, and that according to our Reuben, it says that you can't build a sukkah in a place where you feel you can't live here. And bringing it up in a place where it's discomfortable is meaning you're putting up in a place where you yourself feel you can't do your living activities over here. Well, it's dependent on you. If you're building in a place where you think it's comfortable even though other people don't, then for you, it is a sukkah. It is a place to live.
But he's so taking it down.
Gottenberg built a sukkah in an area where he wasn't scared. He didn't care about the road scheme around him. And therefore, for him, it was a kosher sukkah. Now, Tuli, what do you want to add?
He still won't be able to sleep there.
Ah. And I thought I could stop the show then. Okay, but now it comes. Let's answer Tuli's question. But the Maisa, he built the sukkah in a place where he can't sleep. Okay, not because of fear, just he can't sleep.
Well, he's going to his own barrack.
What's the answer to Tuli's question? What's the answer to Tuli's question?
He's going to sleep in the barracks. That's like
it's
a sukkah.
It's not,
the barracks is not sukkah.
It's an external.
And if you want to use the answer, Rav Zalman, that you gave before from...
I think there's two suggestions
If you want to use the Kotel answer...
And the two suggestions are based on which answer you're going with. Are you going with the Zitz and Silbershin's answer, or are you going with the Yashin answer? I think there's two possible answers to Tully's art question.
But I was going to say the answer we had from the Kotel wouldn't work here, because there we were saying you're sleeping in your own sukkah. So it's okay Correct. That you're only eating in the Kotel sukkah. Here you're not sleeping in any sukkah.
But you can take it a bit further and maybe make it an answer.
Tully, we're counting on you.
No, he's asking everyone. This is the audience participation.
We are counting on you.
I don't understand the question. Isn't it like Reb Rubin's...
Yeah, but Reuben says he's sleeping in one, he's eating in the other, and drinking the other. But Rottenberg is not sleeping in the sukkah, he's sleeping in the barracks.
Maybe you could say he never could
sleep. Live in sukkah means to do all your activities in sukkah. It doesn't have to be the same sukkah, but it has to be all done in sukkah. And that's what Reuben said, the kosher is okay because you're living in your sukkah at home. But here, Rottenberg is living in the barracks.
If it's because he's not afraid, so it doesn't make a difference. If it's because he did it as a Zman Katzar, then it would make a difference.
Okay, that's already Mahalach, another possible Mahalach as an answer. Very good. Not Tully's answer. Tully's going in one way, you're saying another. Both answers are being experienced over.
Siberia.
I just started reading Eric's question. At the time he made the sukkah, he was prepared to just sleep there. Okay, That's part of the answer. But from Ellie said that answer. It's on the same Mahalach. Eric and Ellie are going the same Mahalach, different from Tuli. Very good. See, you don't all have to rely on Tuli. You're getting really things out.
I apologize to the group. I know everybody here is extremely smart. So
let's speak out the two answers. I'm finished there.
What about the Siberia Sfara?
Oh, yeah, David, go on. Sorry, I cut you off.
I know, like, in Siberia, or the very cold climate, you can't sleep in the sukkah. So we don't say that you're not yotze for eating.
But because the sukkah pushed you out. That's where, but here, the sukkah's not pushing you out. It's the Nazi demonstration pushing you out. That doesn't help you over here. Okay, so let's say...
You can argue that the sukkah is why the Nazis would throw him out. And therefore, it's the sukkah that's throwing him out.
I don't think so. So let's go with Ellie and Eric's first, because that's going on with using Zipson's answer first, and then we go to Tully, which is going on the Mahalach of the Ashram. We have to say Tully's Kiddush. The answer which Eric and Ellie are both saying is like this: when he built the sukkah, not scared, not even scared to sleep there. I can eat there, sleep there, no problem. For the next 10 minutes, that was his mindset, and that's what he was when he was eating. As far as he's concerned, this is a sukkah which he can do all living activities, and he's prepared to do all activities, and therefore, at this 10 minutes, he's living in the sukkah, not just eating in a restaurant.
That's not called sleeping.
And then came Yontif. And his mind, after Fitz doing the mitzvah, his mind switched to halacha. What does halacha tell me? Halacha says, I'm mechuyev to take it down because of the ein sof chametz. But I'm prepared to keep it up. So therefore, for me, this was a living quarters for all 7 days in those 10 minutes. A type of a very big long distance. If Matzis will be here, it would say this is Reb Chaim and it's splitting up, stay dinim and things like that. That type of a long distance. It's a long distance. It's not a typical Reb Menachem answer. It's a typical answer, which is a big long distance. Can you split time and mind frames and halachas? But that's what Eric and Ellie are saying. Huge numbers on behalf of the.
I disagree. I strongly disagree. Why? Because halachically, 10 minutes is not enough time to sleep, let alone eat and sleep. You need to have at least 20 or 30 minutes.
His mindset was he would leave it up all night. He only had to take it down to a technicality of halacha. But in his emotional
mindset, he said it's not
prepared to keep up all night.
Okay. And we was so we'll do Reb Chaim one day and we'll try and get you into the Reb Chaim modes from Nachum. I know this is not your type of answer. Now we're going to Tully's answer. So that only works for the six of the Joseph. But according to the Ashid, he's Taka scared after 30 minutes, he'd be scared. Up to 30 minutes, not scared at all. But still, it means you can't sleep there. So what's going to be? The answer will be, am I living here or not? So Reb Reuben said, you're only living here, the Ramah says, if you do all your living activities in the sukkah. If you don't, then you're just visiting the sukkah. It's a restaurant. So let's say what Tully said, this is Stedwood's words, and you hear this. What type of other activity makes me just being considered as not living in the sukkah, but just eating at like a restaurant in the sukkah? What type of activity will destroy my eating in the sukkah? What type of activity?
If I sleep inside, why am I sukkah there?
If I sleep inside, then I, in my normal living quarters, continuously on sukkah, then that will stop the eating in the sukkah being defined as living. Okay? Now, in Auschwitz, in the barracks over there, would you call that the living quarters of Rav Rotenberg? Even when he's sleeping there, is that called living quarters?
No.
It's a type of sleeping activity. It's like sleeping in the field. What would be the din if you slept in the field and you ate in the sukkah? Yeah? That would not mafkia the eating in the sukkah. What's mafkia eating in the sukkah? Living in another place. No one will say I'm living in the field when I sleep there. They say if I'm in my house, I'm living there. That will stop my eating the sukkah being the sukkah. So therefore, when I'm eating, when Yaakov Rotenberg was eating in the sukkah, he wasn't living in any other place. And he's not going to sleep in another place that's called a living quarters. So that can't define the eating as being out of his living quarters. He hasn't got living quarters. Therefore, since he hasn't got living quarters, whatever he does in the sukkah, it's called living in the sukkah for that activity and jyotzer. And that's a chiddush also, more with Menachem style, something sort of that. We've got two possible tests. Wonderful share, and we're well over time, but it's our first share back. Want to get everything clear, finish off the shayla of Corona, and we'll come with more Corona shaylas next week. Have a wonderful week. Shalom Shalom. Lovely to see you all healthy and well. And face it, Mr. Shem, the Kohen, maybe even next week, we can be back in the shul. If Hashem allows us to do it, this is him.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Two extraordinary answers.
And I ask for a mechila if I insulted anybody.
Yeah. Don't ask mechila.
Mocha.